What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Live from the Nasdaq Market Site overlooking New York City's Times Square, this is Fast Money. I'm Melissa Lee. Your traders on the desk are Tim Seymour, Brian Kelly, Steve Grasso, and Guy Adami. On the big show tonight, pharma stocks popping as lawmakers double down on the drug price debate. Senate Republicans calling the Democrats' latest negotiation bill dead on arrival. We'll get you the names in our own exam. Then, if the shoe fits, did Amazon just copy Allbirds? We will look at more side-by-side pictures of both and then zoom out to get the bigger picture concerns this could raise. But first,
in a world where binge watching is a national pastime, a universal battle is raging. This is Streaming Wars. Media empires strike back. Comcast, AT&T, Disney, and Apple bring their shields to full, and Netflix and Roku burn up in the atmosphere. Who will dominate the next evolution? Humanity will find out now.
Yes, it was a week that changed the world of streaming. Roku falling a whopping 26% on increase in competition from Comcast and Facebook. Netflix also getting slammed as CEO Reed Hastings admits to tough competition from rivals Apple and Disney. So who would indeed win the next battle in these streaming wars? What do you think, Guy?
I'd love in a world. Yeah, that right? Guy is fantastic.
Good voice.
Great voice.
But every movie trailer starts with in a world.
In a world.
That's so, why we
in a world
that.
Where Melissa Lee asks questions on her show.
I want answers.
Well, it would appear.
Nice laugh track.
The laugh track. It's really on top.
Look,
of it
would
today.
Appear as though Disney's. In terms of the stock, at least, Disney's the most poised to go higher only because, and Tim can speak to this, the valuation, they seem to be growing into a valuation. It's never going to get a Netflix valuation, but it's going to sort of trend that way where obviously Netflix is feeling the pain. Reed Hastings spoke of that exactly. But in terms of trading these stocks, and we mentioned this the other day, now we had Roku right for a long time. We probably overplayed our hand. But a couple days ago, we said, you know what? It's probably headed back to 100. That's the 50% retracement of that $25 low we saw earlier this year, the recent 175 high. And bang, here we are. I think you got to put that on your radar screen. And I tell you, Netflix, 242 was the low back on December 17th. It seems to have sort of a bullseye for that. But I think you get a trading opportunity against that as well. These stocks are in trouble, but I do think they're not going away.
So much of this market has been positioning. And when you look at the old names, the AT&Ts and the Comcast, these are the names that have performed. And this is another arrow in their quiver, if you will allow that analogy.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I think those are the names you want to buy.
Apparently she did.
Not sure she did either.
No, well, those. Okay, if you look at the Roku, you look at Netflix, you look at Disney, everyone knows about streaming there. It's a surprise with Comcast and AT&T.
Maybe. I mean, I think if you look at this, what's going on, right? Where is the value accruing? The value is accruing to the content producers. So when you look at kind of that cast of characters out there, who has, not only do they produce content, now has the distribution, and has other ways to monetize that content, it comes down to Disney. Every day and twice on Sunday. Look at how the chart's trading against 130. Probably not a bad place to get into it. Apple, you can write them off. They're going to have to spend a lot of money. Maybe, you know, listen, Guy could be right. We might get an opportunity in Netflix and Roku, a trading opportunity, but I would call that a bear market rally, and you probably want to short that rally.
Is the difference between a content producer and a platform? I mean, it's just money, and Apple has a lot of it. So why quit
Netflix has
Apple?
Proven that.
And why isn't Netflix one of the content producers?
I mean, where's the value going? Apple's just going to be putting money out. Are they going to be getting any revenue off that? How long is it going to take? The content producers are going to be the ones today that are actually getting the money.
But what's interesting is, and I think this may be your point, Mel, is that the reason why Netflix has actually been as successful as they are is because they are a distribution platform, and they have the distribution, and people applaud it. They grew into the content, but they had distribution first. Mm-hmm. Who's got distribution first? Apple. Now, I'm not here to, let's talk streaming wars. I'm not here really to argue in favor of Apple. I'm here to argue against Netflix, because Netflix has spent $20 billion in 2018 and 2019 so far. The problem is, as the wars heat up and the competition finally comes online that we all knew was happening, the expectations on really hockey sticking on the EPS on Netflix, 2020, they're supposed to make $6.50 a share. And that's to then trade at 65 times a share, right, when Disney at 30 times is expensive and is doing what they always have done. So I think Netflix is the biggest problem here. I think the other ones are growing into higher
valuations. Isn't it a product also of the value versus growth dilemma that we're seeing? Netflix has a bullseye on its back for a host of reasons.
Right.
And one of them is that value versus growth. And a lot of times when you look at an Apple, you get both in an Apple, along with the icing on the top, or the whipped cream on the top of streaming.
Cherry, I used to put
several of those. I was looking at the ice cream and the whipped cream.
How about an arrow with whipped cream?
Distracting me. It's a good thing that Netflix put through its price increase, yeah, because in this environment, you got to wonder whether or not price increases will ever come again. You've got AT&T under even more pressure to show that the Time Warner acquisition is going to work.
Netflix,
right,
probably did it the time they needed to do it, sort of flow under people's radar screen. People that have it probably didn't even see it coming. Now I think people might be hypersensitive to it, so I think you make a great point. In terms of trading it, though, again, kudos to Tim. He's been on this for a while. But I do think you get a trading opportunity against 242. And it lines up really nicely when they report earnings, I believe, on or about October 16th. So BK's right. It's probably going to be a bear market bounce. And this is the first time I think you've seen the whites of Reed Hastings' eyes.
The whites of his eyes. Mm. That is very dramatic, by the way. That alone is.
It's like the movie theatrical trail.
In a world where Reed Hastings. You think you're traded against 242. Right, there you go.
Are we at a point now where we have to see the valuations converge between the Netflixes of the world and the Disneys of the world?
Well, I think we've seen that, and I think Netflix has a long way to come down, and there's, you know, arguments that should Disney trade here. I think maybe the most interesting, the next comparison to look at is AT&T and Disney. So let's take AT&T's core business and their wireless business and maybe even their DirecTV business and say these are low multiple businesses. But as you look at the content and you do the sum of the parts, to me, the greatest room for relative value enhancement would be at AT&T. And I know you can't value the whole business there, but look at what we're doing with Disney. Look at what we're doing with Apple. We're treating these companies like the conglomerates that they are and trying to value the pieces differently, and it gets you a higher multiple at AT&T.
Yeah,
I think I like Tim's argument on AT&T, but I really just think that the story here is kind of the demise of Netflix and Roku. We haven't talked a lot about
it.
Well, we knew
in
at some
world,
point in time.
In a world where they go out of business.
World, exactly. where they're meteors and they flash out. But let's even talk about Roku. What does Roku do? Right? They basically, you buy the hardware to connect to the internet so you can stream. Every TV going forward is going to have that on. So a part of their business is going away. So between Roku and Netflix, they are rightly down quite a bit. And I think they probably go lower.
Lights out for Roku?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's interesting. You have some analysts today. You mentioned Pivotal. They initiate with a $65 price target.
Half.
Which is dramatic.
Yeah.
But you know what? Equally dramatic are the two other analysts. I think D.A. Davidson, one with a $170 price target, and one whose name escapes me with a $185 price
target.
They're
all wrong, probably.
As it turns out, isn't in a world where we try to handicap things, we're all wrong.
They're probably all wrong.
Yeah, well. My point is, you see, there are people that in the BK camp where think it's going away. There are other people that think that Roku can survive in this world. I don't know where I find myself, but I do think this $100 level is a great trading opportunity.
Here's the other side of this whole argument about valuation enhancement, with the exception of Netflix and Roku in a world where they're going out of business. We have a case where, think about all the cellular companies. Think about what went on in wireless. Think about when these things start to become somewhat commoditized. I realize content is not commoditized, but the services themselves become so. And if Disney can deliver this at $12.99 on a Disney Plus starting November 12th, and Apple's coming in at $4.99, and Netflix Netflix, their premium's $15.99, but they have an $8.99 and they have a $12.99. The point is that, if anything, shouldn't they all be coming down?
They should all be coming
down. And therefore, shouldn't all of their multiples be under some pressure if they're all going to be competing so aggressively?
Except the companies that have the deepest pockets can weather those price declines, right? Can weather that price war.
Or how
the question is, can a Netflix, for instance, with the cash burn it has, can it weather a price?
$15 billion in debt that they've been financing their content.
But I think it comes down to the ones with the lower price have the least amount of content. I think at Netflix, people are willing to pay that premium. I don't think Netflix is selling off because these other competitors are going to steal their lunch. I think they're selling off because of that value versus growth.
Do you think it's only the rotation that is causing Netflix to be down 25% over the past year?
I don't think it's competition. I don't think for me to say it's zero competition, no, that's ignorant. But to say that it's 100% competition, that's ignorant as well. I think it's a healthy amount of value versus growth. I think it's a healthy amount of competition.
I would think that this rotation is the accelerant to the downside, right?
Yes.
So if this was going on absent this rotation, you probably wouldn't have as big of a decline, is probably how I would characterize it.
Four syllables. In a word where BK uses four syllable words.
That's it. It's a Friday afternoon.
The reason why competition concerns me is because it concerns Reed Hastings. And, you know, he spoke, you know, he's said it in the past more in passing. He seems to be really worried right now. So
he's worried about more gaming.
I got to be worried.
But he's worried more about gaming
Throw it all in. Whatever takes your eyeballs off of Netflix.
Exactly. It's just eyeballs.
But here's the other thing. It seems like the bloom is off the rose on Netflix, maybe for the first time. And I know there's been an ability to challenge the valuation for a long time. And for a long time, I was very wrong. And I may still be wrong. But I do think you're having people truly question the business model at this point and the profitability. And at some point, you do have a structural issue. I'm not saying they're going out of business in this world. I'm saying that there's definitely going to be a dynamic here where people were giving Reed Hastings and Netflix the benefit of the doubt every time that these guys had the distribution. They were so far ahead, no one could catch up. They were international. And I think that the multiple of the stock and the following of the stock from the Wall Street and the investor community is not ever going to be the same as what it was.
So back to you, because you think a big part of this is the rotation or an accelerant.
Right.
In that world, would you buy Netflix here?
Not yet. I think that you're going to see that rotation take place until year end. I still think Apple's a buy. I think Comcast is still a buy. And I think Disney has to hold 130.
By the way, when you go to the movies, do you eat popcorn or do you eat
Milk Duds.
Do you eat Craisins?
Junior Mints.
Do you eat Craisins? So we're talking about streaming and watching TV, and here I am just eating Craisins. Because I feel like I'm just snacking.
That's because we've gotten rid of the candy bag.
Yeah.
So.
But you got to tell the folks at home what we're talking about.
We have a candy bag.
But not anymore.
Not anymore. It's candy-free September.
Right. Crazy. So we're eating pecans
nuts,
almonds.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Brilliant.
The more you know.
In a world where we're trying to
keep it real. That's the world.
Coming up, Amazon accused of going after all birds. Does this copycat case have legs? Plus, stocks holding up despite a hiccup in trade talks. With bonds are telling quite a different story. We'll tell you what to expect in the big week ahead. We're live from Times Square in New York City. Much more Fast Money right after this.
Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of futures. At Janus Henderson, we are committed to helping you invest in a brighter future for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Welcome back to Fast Money. Biopharma breathing a sigh of relief today after Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell warned House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that her drug pricing plan would be dead on arrival in the Senate. So what could this mean for the drug pricing battle? Obviously, the drug makers liked this news.
Yeah, they should like it. And I think big cap pharma, although the last, obviously, 3 weeks have been difficult for Eli Lilly, for Pfizer, even to a certain extent Merck, I think they're going to get back on their horse and run again. Lilly closed today at 116. The all-time high was on or about 130. I think that's where it's headed. Valuations are not stretched. I think the space had a bullseye. I think that bullseye is now gone.
I don't want to have to be forced to pick one of those names, so I buy the XLV. You buy the ETF. It's only up 7%. It's lagged the market. And I think you have a little bit of smooth sailing going into year end if it's dead on arrival.
He was almost daring you to would you rather him.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not taking the bait. I want to go someplace
like
else
that.
With this. Nobody tells
like
me
that.
What to do.
Right on.
All right. But my question is, for every positive headline like this, you always get a negative headline. And there's still a lot of time to the election.
Right. But at least it delays it. Right. So at least there's this stagnation. So if you were concerned that something was going to happen either before the election or that's probably off the table now. For me, I'll go a little further down the food chain and say maybe you look at biotech again. IBB, the NASDAQ biotech, traded really well today. The reason why I say that is if there was any hesitation about buying out some of these smaller cap biotechs by the large pharmas because you didn't know what pricing was going to be, maybe there's a little more uncertain. There's a little more certainty in the world today.
I think taking these headlines as at least a counter to all the political fears that we've seen, you know, kind of swirling around this sector is not enough to go out and buy it. I don't think that the valuations are particularly interesting. I think that a lot of these companies actually also had a very good run in the context, again, of a slower growth economy where we had high dividend yields and these were very predictable cash flow generators. So this has never been a reason to jump in or out of the sector for me, and I think that's proven over and over every political cycle.
All right. Speaking of companies often caught in Capitol Hill's crosshairs, Amazon under the spotlight again, this time for being a copycat. Images from earlier today show that the online retail giant has created a shoe that bears an uncanny resemblance to a popular sneaker made by startup apparel company Allbirds. Not just that, they're selling it for $60 less per pair. Mm. So the question is, if Amazon is doing this with Allbirds, could they also do this with any other product that they sell on their site? And is this going to further raise regulatory concerns?
I think the first question
they already do, don't they? I mean, you go on the Amazon site, they have Amazon Basics, which is their product, which is at the top of the thing, which is exactly what they were accused of or was a concern this week, that they are actually kind of promoting their own product. So I think this already happens. Looking at those pictures, though, there is a difference. It's the shoelaces. So they must be $60 shoelaces.
Well, those are some pretty ugly sneakers, by the way. I think Dan Nathan wears those. I mean, I have never, you know, I would not wear those. But the question is white labeling for Amazon, who's in the ultimate position, and we're seeing essentially white label products in every major big box and every major food group. Yes, I think Amazon's going to continue.
I have zero problem with it. Anyone who's going to list on Amazon, if they're going to cause you any adverse effects on your brand, you just pull it off of Amazon. I don't think anyone's going to do that. So until that happens, it's going to have zero effect on the market. It's going to have zero effect on the competition. And I'm happy with this. Maybe Dan gets a cheaper sneaker.
They are horrible things. But
they're
as
idiots.
You know, imitation is the best form of flattery, as they say. And you can look across the TV landscape and you'll notice there are shows on other networks that have taken this fast money format and have made it their own.
Really?
Just saying, without naming names. With that said, and our technician BK can speak to this, Amazon is not really traded all that well. If you look, it has a monster double top and it really hasn't recovered as the broader market has. So Allbirds?
Allbirds is the sneaker that they're copying.
Aside, of which Dan Nathan has multiple pairs.
I mean, the implication is
Dan has some really ugly shoes.
It's a shame he's not here.
That's what everybody seems to be saying. That's the bottom line.
I'm not saying that. It sounds that's what other people are saying.
I'm out there.
Just, you know.
Dan and Guy have said it.
They have said that. I just want to make
the bottom line.
My name's Tim.
Not just the bottom line for Dan's shoes, but the bottom line for Amazon.
So I for Amazon, I think this is probably not a big deal in the big picture of things, this individual incident. But again, I will use the term accelerant and say that probably this rotation out of the momentum is an accelerant for Amazon on the downside.
Okay, Dan strolls up onto set here. He's in the wings for options action with his fancy sneakers on.
They are fancy.
Not knowing that all these guys have been putting his sneakers down.
So, are those Amazon sneakers?
In a world.
Is this on air?
Yeah, we're on TV, Dan.
What are you guys doing?
Making fun of your sneakers.
This whole show has been off the rails. I mean, really, yeah.
Stick around, 5:30.
Options action. But back to Amazon. I mean, this could be one of those names caught up in this whole rotation as well, right? I mean, if you're going to say
Netflix. It's up 20%. It's underperformed. Yeah, you have a problem there. But when you look at Amazon, they told us that this was going to be an investment cycle. So I don't want to be in Amazon when they're warning us already. He's already put the writing on the wall. Love the stock for years, but when he tells you he's investing, that means look out, you're not going to see any profits.
I think Dan's sneakers are nicer than Allbirds.
Well, those are different ones, by the way. Those are better sneakers than he usually wears.
They're leather, for one.
Okay, it's a better sneaker than
coming up, Trade Talks hitting another snack, putting the dent in the stock rally, but bond yields seeing an even bigger swoon. We'll discuss which has the better read on the market. That's next. I'm Melissa Lee. You're watching Fast Money and CNBC. Much more Fast Money right after this.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX.
Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Summarize with AI in a click. Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome back to Fast Money. Stocks falling today after yet another rift in U.S.-China trade talks. Chinese officials cutting their trip to the U.S. short. No explanation. They actually canceled a trip to visit farms in Montana. President Trump later saying he doesn't need to strike a deal with China ahead of the 2020 election. The real story, though, take a look at what happened in the bond market. Well, we saw stocks go up and down according to these trade headlines. We saw bond yields sink, and pretty much here we are at the lows of the session, 1.721%. And they had been up prior to those trade headlines about China canceling the deal at around 1.78 or 9. So what is telling the true story here in terms of how we should view where the trade talks are and how do we set up for next week, Tim?
I think certainly the bond market is somewhat concerned. I think the bond market also listened to Eric Rosengren of the Boston Fed. I think it also listened to the comments that were coming out of Clarida. So you had Fed comments that basically indicated, hey, one, we don't really necessarily want to push rates much lower in terms of the Fed funds rate. And I think you get the sense that the market overall is then going to be concerned about growth if the Fed is not as aggressive.
Right. I was surprised that Rosengren saying that manufacturing is already in recession effectively didn't
right.
hit the markets a little bit harder.
Yeah, I mean, both the Fed governors were not too enthusiastic about the U.S. economy, and particularly Clarida talked about the European economy getting hit hard, and we know that that has filtered over. So the danger to this stock rally and the danger that we have is that you have this prolonged trade war, which Guy has talked about for probably a year and a half now, and it continues to hit earnings. So we are back in this pattern of one day, great news, stock market goes up. Next day, all of a sudden, it falls apart, stock market goes down.
We've heard Fed representatives tell us that the tariff issue hasn't filtered through to the economy yet. And I think that if it continues to go on, you're just guaranteed more of a rate cut. So to me,
so it's a win-win situation.
I knew you were going to say that because you don't like that.
Well, I mean,
so I'm not going to say it's a win-win.
I don't trust win-win.
I'm not going to say it's a win-win, but I wouldn't be afraid of it.
Uh-huh. Guy?
It was that good book, that Winn-Dixie book. Remember that book? It was kids. You're looking at the clock. You want me? 141 was the high in the TLT back in July of 2016. We blew through it to the upside, means yields exploded to the downside. We've retested it. I think yields are going lower. I have no idea what that means to the broader market, but I think TLT goes higher from here.
Final trade times go around the horn, Tim.
So we were doing some Would You Rathers, whether we played it or not, in Disney, Netflix. Definitely Disney for me. You have to watch this 128 level, but a lot of people have been wanting to buy the stock right here, and I think you should.
BK Brian Kelly.
Well, I would say in a world with a looming trade war going for tit for tat, you might want to have some TLT on your bottom.
Grasso.
The market was under a lot of pressure today, and a stock that did not blink was Lennar. Lennar has been up for about a week straight. I'm staying long. You should too. Lennar, Elliott.
Guy.
You know something, Melissa? I know you think
what
I
guy?
Forgot my final trade. I did not. You know what was up 2%
today? Are you waiting
today?
For it to come
no,
up?
No, I'm not waiting for it.
Oh, see, there it is.
I'm looking at you, though, while I'm talking.
You can
okay.
see
I can't
see that monitor over there.
Fine. You're fine. You got
GDX,
it
GDX, I know.
You got it
2.1% today. Gold's going higher.
That does it for us. Have a great weekend. Options Action's up next.
How do you land your dream job? It starts by acing the interview. Learn exactly what hiring managers are looking for with CNBC Make It's new career-boosting online course. Get the limited-time offer. Register now at cnbcmakeit.com/courses.